Easter Sunday morning. Well, this is it. Amen. The big day. Kind of a shame that by we hit Easter Sunday morning, we're exhausted. But yeah, I'm sure that's maybe kind of the way the disciples felt that very first Easter. You know, they probably weren't hooping and hollering and dancing that first Sunday morning. They were kind of down, but it changed real quick for them, didn't it? So I don't know. I'm ready to get my second wind here. We're going to jump into the scripture this morning, and I'm going to kind of go kind of quickly. I got a bunch of scripture. I'm usually known for using two or three scriptures, maybe. This morning, I have a bunch. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, and the problem was I had even more, right? Amen. Because everything in the Bible is about Easter, right? That's what the whole Bible's about. And so how do you pick and choose what scriptures are relevant? So I picked a few this morning, and so I'm going to go through them, and I'll try to keep it going rather quickly and not get too bogged down. But I want to talk a little bit about a matter of life and death, because that's what Easter's really about. Life and death. The death of Christ gives us reason to celebrate the resurrection. Amen? Had Christ not died, then we wouldn't be celebrating Easter. But life and death can't be separated. They go hand in hand. They're like two opposite ends of the same thing, or maybe the opposite sides of the coin. If you've got one, you've got to have the other. And I know in most cases it would sound really strange to say, you know, that we're going to gather up and celebrate the death of someone. I mean, we just don't do that, right? When we have a funeral, we say we are celebrating their life. But with Jesus, we celebrate his death, right? We're happy for his life, but his death is the big thing there. If you're alive today, you're destined to die. Amen? Can't separate life and death. They're linked together. They're tied together. And the only way I know with absolute certainty to cheat death is to never be born. If you're never born, if you're never alive, then I guess you can never die. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly are waiting for him. So we see that the Bible promises that we are destined to die. Normally we might think, well, that's the end of the story, right? We live our life and we die and life goes on. For everybody else. That's the way it seems. But because of this, we're promised that the end isn't death, but there's something to come after that. Well, what comes after it? What should come after it is an eternity in hell. That would be the right thing because we're sinful humans. We don't meet up to God's standard. And even if we could claim we never did anything wrong, we're born with that sin nature. Why is that? Well, because it all goes back to Adam and Eve in the garden. When Adam sinned, he brought death into the world. There was no such thing as death. So we see that death and sin are connected. So why is death in the world? Well, there's death because there's sin. Why is there sin? Because Adam rebelled and disobeyed God. And so we are united. We're connected to that sin that Adam did in there in the garden when he disobeyed. But the good news is, the Bible tells us, we can be connected, united with Christ through his death to overcome that sin. So really what we're not trying to overcome is not death, but we're trying to overcome the effects of death. What are the effects of sin, which is death? Because if there was no sin, we wouldn't have to worry about death. Because there's sin, the problem is death. But death isn't the problem. We can't fix death. We have to fix the cause. The cause is sin. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Somebody say amen this morning. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. And just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, amen, we're all connected to Adam. We have that original sin. Because of sin, sin produces death. Because we are connected to Adam and to his sin, we should die. But everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. That's the Easter story right there. So We can't change the fact that we're all linked to Adam. We're united with him in sin. But we are fortunate that because of what Christ did, we can be united to him. We can be linked to him. And through his death, we overcome sin. Romans 6:5 puts it this way. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Amen? So how do we defeat death? We have to be united with Christ. When we're united with Christ, then we are united with his death. His death then pays that price for sin, and that breaks the curse of sin. Verse 6, we all know that our own old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Power's been broken if we're united with Jesus Christ and his death. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. So why do we get excited on Easter Sunday morning? Well, because Christ is risen. And because Christ is risen, then we can have confidence in the promises that he made. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to say, well, what's going to happen when this life is over? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when they, put me in that coffin and bury me in the ground or drop me in the incinerator? Whatever happens to this old body, it doesn't matter. Amen? Why not? Because Christ is alive. And if Christ is alive and I'm united with Christ, then I have life eternal through him. Well, so what does that mean? When we come back to us, Jesus was resurrected. Well, Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, but yet there are a lot of people that have been dead for thousands of years. Seems kind of strange, right? Christ died. He defeated sin. It's over. Overcome death. So why isn't everybody alive already? Well, John 12 gives us a little hint here. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. So Christ, he's talking about not only his own death, but he's talking about our lives here. And he's maybe talking in a little bit of a cryptic way at this point, but I think today, looking back, we can easily understand it. And so he relates to something that people can understand. How many people ever planted a seed of some type? Maybe, if nothing else, maybe when you were in elementary school, you planted a bean and watched it sprout. Right? I can remember doing that. And it's amazing. You take that little seed and you put it in the ground and you water it and you wait and you wait and you wait. And eventually, maybe it sprouts. And then you wait and you wait. And if it's a bean that you planted, you wait and it grows into a vine. Amen? And then eventually it blooms. And if you wait long enough, then it produces the fruit. So it's not, Christ is making it clear. It's not this instantaneous thing. Amen? We have to wait for the harvest to see the full effects of the seed that was planted. And Christ is relating himself. When he's talking about being put in the tomb, he's talking about him being that seed. And you take the seed and you bury it, right? Is that not what we do? If we don't bury the seed, it won't sprout. And isn't it interesting that we bury dead things? That seed's not alive. It's dried up, hard. You try to eat it, crunchy. Not very good. Not good for much. But when you put it in the ground, something amazing happens. It changes. When you bury it, that seed changes from death to life. And what comes forth? The plant springs forth. And that life comes forth. And over time, like I say, it blossoms, it blooms, and it produces the fruit. Then Paul refers to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. He said, it's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die. Amen? I'll say here, Paul is he's making an illustration. So he's not saying that your body has to be buried in the ground when you die. I know some people, they have taught this. And they said, Christians have to be buried. Well, I don't think Christians have to be buried. Amen? If they say, what if somebody's cremated? Okay, well, what about somebody who died in the World Trade Center Towers that was pulverized into dust. Does that mean they can't be resurrected? What about somebody that was lost at sea? I'm pretty sure, or what about people that were buried, but they've been buried for thousands of years, and there's not even any bones left, it's just dust. How's God going to resurrect them? He's going to do it with resurrection power, amen? So, doesn't matter how you're buried. But Paul's making the illustration here, and he's going back to this idea of the seed being planted. And so he said, our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they'll be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. So when the resurrection comes, it's not going to be this same old body that comes back. Amen? And I know a few of you this morning might join me with saying amen to that. Because I don't want this old body back for all eternity. Amen? This old body is tired. It's weak. It's struggling some days. At least I'm doing better. I'm standing up this morning. Amen? Last couple of sermons, I've been sitting down because my back hurts so bad. So I don't want a body that's old and achy and, you know, back going out. We don't get back the same bodies. Just like the same thing, when you plant that seed in the ground, you don't get back the same seed. You get back something different. You put one thing in, you get something else out. Plant the seed, you get the plant. Well, that's the way that Paul's explaining it here. He said, we're going to plant this old body when it's dead, but it's going to come forth, but it won't look the same. It won't be the same. And then I love what he says. He said, it was buried in brokenness. Well, absolutely, I can relate to that on multiple levels, not just spiritually, but maybe emotionally, physically, in all these ways. Amen? All that brokenness, but it will be raised up in glory. Buried in weakness. Well, again, I can relate to a lot of weaknesses in a lot of areas. But we will be raised in strength. Buried as natural human bodies. This is what we have right now, a natural human body. But we will be raised as spiritual bodies. Something different. Something we can't even imagine. Something that is going to be so wonderful that we cannot imagine what it'll be like. And we can look at Jesus to begin to get a little idea of what that's going to be. Amen? He's not bound in his spiritual body the way that he was bound when he was born as a human being. Because he's no longer human. He is now in that spiritual body. They had all the doors and windows closed and locked. What happened? He appeared right in. Amen? He's here right now. Instantly, he's over there. He's walking along. All of a sudden, he's gone. Nobody knows what happened to him. Why? Because he's not bound by the same natural laws because he's no longer a natural body. And so Paul's telling us we got to stop thinking this old way of about the resurrection, right? We don't have to think about, well, how's God going to find all the dust and all the molecules and all the things and put it? Because God's not going to find all the old dust that your old body was made out of. Amen? He's going to make a new spiritual body. Also, Paul tells us we got to stop thinking like normal mortal humans. Amen? Because we're no longer normal mortal humans. You know what mortal means? Anybody know what the word mortal means? It means destined to die, basically. What'd you say? Gonna die. Yeah, death bound. It's exactly what it means. So a lot of times, you know, I think people hear that word mortal, and maybe because of TV shows or whatever, they think, you know, mortal means a human being or something, you know. You got the immortal beings, and you got Sabrina, the teenage witch or something, who was, and you know, they talked about, you know, the mortals. No, they got it all wrong. They don't understand the meaning of the word. Mortal means death bound. But we need to stop thinking like people who are bound for death, because we're not death bound. Because of Christ, we are life bound. Amen? Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, he said, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Christ Jesus lives. Amen? And I have a U.S. passport. And my U.S. passport says that I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And that's a good thing to have if you ever want to leave the country. Amen? But I have a heavenly passport that supersedes my earthly passport. My earthly passport, I got to go renew it every 10 years. It expires. It's no good. I got to stay on top of it. I have a heavenly passport that never expires. You know, without your passport, you try to leave the country and go somewhere else, you're not going to make it too far. Same thing, without our spiritual passport, we're not going to make it too far. Amen? How do we get our spiritual passport? We got it through Jesus Christ. So we're citizens of heaven, and we are eagerly awaiting Christ to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies, and he'll change them into glorious bodies like his own, using that same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Christ is coming back. He's going to return again. And when he does, things are going to change. And the old way of thinking will not apply anymore. All right, so this morning we said sin is really the problem. Sin is the underlying cause of death. Because we inherit the sin nature, we are mortal, we're bound to die. But Christ paid the price for our sin. He took our place with his death. And when he did, that canceled out the power of the curse of sin, and it defeated death. In 1 Corinthians 15, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. But the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone, Bible made it very clear, everyone is appointed to die. Everybody's going to die. And I say, well, almost everybody. Because I guess if we happen to be around during the rapture, then I guess technically we don't die. We'll be translated, to use the big Bible word. So a few people are going to escape. Will it be us? I don't know. Amen? Maybe. Maybe not. We live our lives knowing that whether we die and are buried here on this earth, or whether we are around at the rapture and we meet Jesus in the air when he returns, we know that we need to be ready. Amen? Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die. Amen? I like that. Transformed, changed again. We're not going to be the same. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Amen? So I don't know, maybe there's an advantage. Another place Paul said to be, you know, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. So, you know, if the rapture is going to happen in 20 years, maybe if you die today, maybe you get to be with Jesus just that much sooner. Amen? Because Paul said they're going to be the first ones. They're going to be the first ones resurrected, coming up from their graves. Then, together with them, all who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we'll be with our Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. And that's what Easter's about, encouraging each other. Amen? To think about these words, that Jesus is coming again. And we know that he has defeated the power of sin. Amen? Has no more power over us. So, what do we do? Well, we want the resurrection power alive in our lives. We want to defeat sin in our lives. Doesn't happen automatically, does it? We can only defeat death through the resurrection. That's what defeats death. Christ defeated death when he was resurrected. We want to defeat the sin in our life because we want that defeat the death that comes as a result of sin. So how do we defeat sin? There's only one cure for sin, and that is the resurrection. We need the resurrection. Amen? John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Amen? We need the resurrection. That's the only thing. What is the resurrection? Jesus is the resurrection. Resurrection isn't a what. It isn't an event. The resurrection is a who. And that who is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes will never die. How do we get eternal life? Jesus made it very clear. There's only one way. He is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. If we want to receive that gift that God wants to give us, it only comes through Jesus Christ. How do we get the resurrection power into our life? We receive Christ into our life. And then we become linked with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And finally, I want to close with Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And that's the perfect Easter verse right there, I think. If that same Spirit, that same Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, then he will also quicken our mortal bodies and bring life, that same resurrection power unto us. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning.